Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. For years now, there's been calls to establish a media council in Malaysia, one that promises to enhance media professionalism, safeguard press freedom, and uphold ethical standards. However, despite the repeated proposals and discussions, progress on this crucial initiative remain elusive. So will there be significant progress on the establishment of a long-awaited media council in Malaysia? Let's ask Zahrom Naim. He's Professor of Media and Communication Studies at University of Nottingham, Malaysia, where he's also the Director of the Centre for the Study of Communications and Culture. Zahrom, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. As I understand it, you are a member of the Pro Tem Committee of the Malaysian Media Council. I'm wondering if you could begin our conversation today by sharing what you believe should be the primary responsibilities of the Media Council.
Hi, Melissa. Nice to be here again. The responsibilities that we've listed them out in the proposal. The main one would be providing a code of conduct for media personnel. And there are a few good ones. I mean, what I feel are good ones. That code of conduct is important, and that leads to maintaining the highest ethical standards and responsible journalism in many ways. Yeah. And underlying all that is another attempt to work towards self-regulating the media, given the fast-changing media environment now. Yeah. So this notion of self-regulation is important. Because we feel media personnel, professionals, those members proposed for the Media Council are mature enough, are professional enough to self-regulate. I mean, this is an argument that's been put across for a long, long time. I was part of all these discussions about 20, 30 years ago, which shows my age, where we talked about self-regulation. At that point in time, the government insisted that the government would play an important role in regulating. Yeah, so we our argument was that we don't need another level of controls by the state. Yeah, the whole idea is to make ourselves media personnel and those civil society as well be responsible for our actions and essentially adjudicate in areas of controversies. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let's dive right into self-regulation, because I think that's one of the key areas, right? How would the council ensure that self-regulation strikes that right balance between autonomy but also accountability?
Well, one of the elements of the council is that people would need to sign up to be a member of the council, and those members of the media council would then be answerable to the council for their actions in many ways. Yeah, so through that agreement, then they also agree that they will behave according to the code of conduct produced by the council. It's right. Voluntary in many ways. Yeah.
Okay, could I ask you to maybe paint a picture for us? What would self-regulation look like in practice?
Okay, let's say there's a complaint by the public against the industry. Let's say a report, the actions of the industry, series of reports by a newspaper, perhaps, yeah, that there was bias and so on and so forth. Then our job would be essentially to look at these public complaints and to provide a resolution for their disputes. We in a sense adjudicate independent of external bodies in that sense. Yeah. So that's basically that kind of example I can give right now. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So critics of self-regulation, who are they and what are they worried about if it comes to the Media Council being self-regulatory?
Well, one of the main critics would be essentially government servants in government, I feel, because they don't want most governments. I'm not talking just about the Malaysian government, but most governments do not want to release whatever power they have over the media, because the media plays a very, very essential role, pivotal role in society, yeah, providing images and so on and so forth and messages. So they are the main critics of the council, because they then say, you know, we lose control of the what we had before. Our reassurance is that the Media Council is supposed to be a professional body, and subsequently, in a sense, a very professional, a body that's run by professionals, let's put it that way. And given what we've outlined, the self-regulation that we put across is essentially going to make the media environment a much better one, a much more a freer one. And a freer one is one that also has to be very responsible. Yeah. So it's essentially saying that we are the ones who practice this, and we are the ones who know the ins and outs of this. Yeah. So it's not politicians that should be running it, but us. Yeah. So the critics, those critics would be the ones who feel that they need control. Our idea is that, you know, too much control leads to mediocrity.
Well, some of the arguments I've also heard against self-regulation have been around the issue of consequences for violations. So the critics argue that, you know, self-regulation means that the Media Council really will have no teeth when it comes to holding media organizations to account for misconduct, for unethical behavior, for bad reporting. How does the proposed Media Council plan to address some of these concerns?
Well, since this is going, the Media Council is going to be established by an Act of Parliament, yeah. So we have legal clout in that sense, yeah. Just as in Indonesia and in the Scandinavian countries, there is clout, you know, because we have an act supporting us in that sense. This is what we've been discussing with the government of the day. You know, to draw up a bill, to bring it to Parliament, to make it an act, and therefore having the legal aspect of it ironed out. And therefore, no, it's not a matter of not having any clout. If you want to talk about clout, the clout is going to be there once an Act of Parliament is established. Yeah.
Okay, so talk to me a little bit about legislation, the bill that's set to go to Parliament. So Fahmi Fazil mentioned that it might be tabled next year. That seems like a really long time away. What is the bill? What is the bill meant to do? You talked about it giving some legal authority to the council, but what kind of legal authority, and how it will be different to ensure that the legislation is not a bad legislation that will, you know, restrict media freedom?
No, it won't restrict media freedom. It'll make media, but media freedom is one thing, media responsibility is another thing altogether, right? So they come together in many ways. So it's about making media more responsible, more open in that sense, yeah, and more conducive to the growth of the nation. Yeah, that's, as it is now, even with the laws that are there, there's so much that's going on that does not indicate it's not so much the law, it's about people not understanding what the good role of the media ought to be. I mean, if you look at TikTok and so on and so forth, right? It's essentially about guidance. It's essentially about education. It's essentially about making people aware, especially media personnel and also the public, aware of our responsibilities in providing news, in providing information, in educating the public. So I think the law is there to say, look, you know, this is a good thing that they're doing. This is supposed to provide them with the backing of the public in many ways, yeah. And because the laws are there for the public, yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, what is being proposed is essentially something that is firstly for journalists and media professionals, but also for the people. Is a public service thing that we're bringing into the media in a big way, I feel. Yeah.
Right. Well, you mentioned Indonesia a little bit earlier. You cited Indonesia as an example of the way self-regulating media council might work. What's working in Indonesia that we can emulate?
Well, the Indonesian Media Council has evolved over a period of time. I think the latest one is 1999, after the upheavals over there. What it to me what it 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 what sorry what's successful about it is that it is something that looks at two things at least, yeah. Responsible journalism, which means responsible journalists, yeah, and two, responsible to the people, not responsible to the state. Often in the kind of many contexts, and I think in Malaysia as well, very often when you talk about responsibility and when you talk about service, you're talking about service to the state, responsibility to the state. Yeah, our argument has always been our responsibility has got to be one to the professionals within the media organizations and the media organizations themselves, and two, to the people we are serving, not just not governments of the day, but to the people we are serving, right? So I think that's how it has worked to some extent in the context of Indonesia. And I think to a large extent also in many Scandinavian countries. In Britain, for example, when they talk about the notion of public service, yeah, the notion of public service is essentially that. It's service to the various members of the public, right? Not to the state. In many developing countries, the idea of public service means government service, yeah. And that's something that many of us are very critical against, you know, academics and also professionals. And I think that's the good thing about setting up a media council that's self-regulating.
Right. Well, Zara, I know the ProTem committee is impatient for progress, and you know many members of the media also want to see this happen. I'm sure the public as well. Where are we now, and how do we move forward? Could you give us a sense of what next steps need to happen so that this can eventually be realized?
Okay, where are we now? We are way, it started, I guess, in 2020, the revival of the idea of Media Council under the then Pakatan Harapan government, yeah? And then it just floundered, it just was pushed aside over the 22 months or so, or not 22 months, over the months after the Sheraton move, nothing moved. And then when the new unity government came about, we got notice to try and set up the council again, and it's been going very fast. You know, kudos to Tioni Ching and also Fahmi, but largely Tio because she's been at the forefront of this all. She's been trying to push things for us as well. So the next step would be once we've had the next meeting, hopefully it'll be brought to Cabinet first, I feel, and after Cabinet approval to be brought to Parliament and to the two houses, I guess, for it to become law. So, like Fahmi says, it's next year. We were hoping for, you know, the end of this year, but hopefully by next year it should be made law. All things being equal and all governments remaining the way they are.
Well, we'll keep a close eye on the progress of that. Thank you for the update. We appreciate your time. Zara Naim from University of Nottingham, Malaysia. We're going to take a very quick break here on Consider This. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. Let's continue our conversation about the efforts to set up the long-awaited Media Council in Malaysia. Joining me now is Vatsala Naidu. She is the Executive Director of the Centre for Independent Journalism. Vatsala, thank you for being on the show with me. The ProTem Committee, of which you are a member of, the ProTem Committee is adamant that this Media Council should self-regulate. But as we know, there are, you know, half a dozen or so laws in Malaysia that currently govern the media. So what would you say are some of the key challenges or the obstacles in aligning those existing media laws with the principles of self-regulation that the Media Council wants to embody?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question, because that's what we've been really battling with, Melissa. As you rightly pointed out, most of the laws that we have here are not necessarily aimed at promoting or protecting the rights of media. It is more aimed at censoring and restricting certain forms of speech in publications and so forth, right? So in this context, one of the key role of the Media Council would be, self-regulation means you are pulling together the different actors within the industry, and you are more equipped to deal with the dynamic, fast-changing media industry or media environment, right? So that would mean first thing would be to reconcile the various regulations that are, covering print media, broadcasting media, covering digital platforms. So, the first role or critical function of the Media Council will be to set up its own standards, right? And these standards, of course, must be in adherence with international standards on ethical and responsible reporting, yeah, and making sure that also provides a vibrant environment for media to perform independently. So this standard would ensure that it goes beyond the restrictions and censorship that we have. It's a first attempt, right? So of course, ideally, the Pro Tem Committee, if you look at the draft that was submitted in 2020, have also stated the need to review, amend, and repeal the Printing Presses and Publications Act, as well as certain provisions within the Communications and Multimedia Act. There is going to be a need to align a number of our laws with what is going to be the object and purpose of the Media Council.
Right. Well, okay. So let's talk a little bit about why the council needs to self-regulate. Can you share as to why it's better for self-regulation as opposed to having these laws that, as you say, restrict media freedom?
Okay. I'm not going to say a blanket no to any of these laws. Certain laws are definitely needed, right? To protect the public's interests, yeah? But self-regulation is critical because we need to locate the role of media as the fourth estate, right? In promoting public, in promoting democracy generally, right? And media then becomes the main source of information for the public to make informed decisions. Right. At what is happening now with the various sets of laws that we have and with the constant changes in government is a very a rather arbitrary approach to how media is being regulated. And media, let's accept the fact here, many of our media rather partisan as well. So we want to move all this, and the power is also concentrated on the state. It is the government at the moment completely regulating, censoring media, right? So it has to be a shared responsibility now. And if media is to self-regulate itself, media, when I say media, it has to include various other actors, right? Media, publishers, owners, journalists, CSOs, academics. Self-regulation means you are coming together to agree to adhere to a set of standards that you yourself have created, mm-hmm. right? And that would also mean you're putting in place specific mechanisms, processes, and systems to hold yourself accountable. Right. So, and this is critical because it moves away the, quote unquote, interference by government and all interference by other parties with vested interests. Mm.
So what would you say are the main reservations that the government has regarding the idea of self-regulation in the media industry? Is there compromise, the middle ground to be found in addressing some of these concerns?
We will have to reach some level of compromise, right? Of course, the Pro Tem Committee is literally pushing the bar as much as we can. We need to set a high threshold, right? But I think the core of establishing a Media Council, we have to go back to, the 2020, the January 2020 decision to set up the Pro Tem Committee. It was on the basis of a cabinet paper that was passed that focused on the need for self-regulations and independence. Now, if we go back to the core of it, that means that's where we are starting and that's where we should always, head towards. So obviously there is going to be need to kind of relook at some of the functions, the powers of the Media Council, how much of the power is going to be with the Media Council and where would all the other, powers with regards to you know, specific laws and, you know, policies and prevention measures which will remain within the state. I think the biggest compromise that we envision now is how would the government locate itself vis-a-vis the Media Council? The way we've looked at a number of countries, we've looked at Indonesia, our neighbor. We've even looked at Timor Leste, which is number, mind you, which is number 10 on the RSF index. Yeah, we are at 73. Timor Leste is number 10. And then we've also looked at other countries, of course, like India, and you know, how would a body passed by an act of parliament function? Mm-hmm. Indonesia, of course, started off with having you know, government reps part of it, but they moved away from that. There's no longer need for government reps to sit in the council. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and India functions completely as an independent entity, right? So in Malaysia, we ask ourselves, right? Self-regulation means industry players, industry actors, and people who places the interests of the media and the interests of the public at the heart of it, right? So that means it's not the interest of the government there. It is the role of the government to facilitate an enabling robust environment for the media. So the struggle is going to be, and I'm already envisioning that, where do we draw the line in terms of the government's role? Do they sit in the council? We say no. Mm-hmm. Right? We say definitely no, because what would that mean? I mean, it's almost similar to having government continue the regulation process they have, right? But would the government kind of create a space for itself, perhaps, that's not decision-making, that's open for discussion? Maybe, you know, an observer role, but even that is critical. But, you know, we also need to note, right, when we looked at the membership of the council, we looked at three categories that included publishers, media owners, that's the first category. Second category, basically journalist groups. Third category, you know, CSOs, academics who are invested in media freedom, right? Now, in category one, we had a lot of discussion. Would that include government media, right? Would Bernama, you know, be a member of the council? That was already a compromise within the Pro Tem committee when we said yes, you know. But when they become a member of council, they are completely, you know, committing to adhering to the code of conduct and related rules of the council. So you're already saying, this is a standard I'm adhering to. This is how I'm going to, you know, now kind of regulate myself. And if there are violations or breaches, you know, in my act and conduct, then, you know, anyone can avail themselves to the council's dispute resolution mechanism. So that might be possible, of course, for RTM and Bernama. And of course, we still understand that would be, you know, some level of government involvement there. But that is very different, though, Melissa, in having a government rep, say, from the Ministry of Communications and Digital sitting there. Because they would they then also be adhering to the code of conduct and related rules? Perhaps not. So this is where I think we need real clarity from the government themselves. What is the government's intention now with regards to the Media Council?
Okay. Well, if you think about the government's role, they could also use the argument of funding. If you want government funding, federal funding, we have to have a presence on the council. How do you envision the funding structure of the Media Council, and what challenges might arise from the different permutations of the funding structure?
Yeah. You know, this funding seemed to be one justification, because, you know, the way the structures work, I guess, in terms of allocation, most of the fundings are allocated through different ministries, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, if it's going to be allocated through the Ministry of Communications and Digital, they would want to have some level of oversight, right? Yeah. So what we are saying is, again, to consider different models in different countries. India is very unique in itself, right? So the funding does not come through any of the different ministries. It comes directly from the central government. Right. Mm. And of course, I mean, there is, of course, responsibilities and obligations of they call it the press council to report back on the use of the funds, which could be done similarly here. The funding could still come directly from the parliament. You know, any of the PAC could kind of allocate this. Right. And we report back, you know, in that nature on the uses of the fund. Yeah. And I really do think that there is a lot of opportunity for us here to think outside the box. It's a new government, right? It's a Madani government, and surely we don't want to be stuck in the same rut again. So I think, and again, funding from the government, we're not talking about indefinite funding, right? Some basic things around seed funding from the government is going to be important, because how else are we going to set up, right? We need to set up the secretariat. We need to put the systems in place. So that is going to require some level of initial support from the government. But eventually, I think there could be different ways of, you know, self-sustaining itself too. That could, I mean, membership fees, of course, is one way, but that's going to be really minimal, right? But there are also opportunities vis-a-vis grants that could be, you know, applied. So Hakam has a similar nature, right? They can also apply for grants. And then maybe in, even in terms of funding or seed funding from government, there are different ways. I think we need to understand that any funding from government is technically public funding, right? So, you know, looking at what some of the other countries are doing, like Australia, for example, which is perhaps now imposing taxes on social media companies, which are generating advertising revenue using media content, right? News content. Mm-hmm. So those are things that could be explored so that the funds of the media council could be, you know, added too. So right. Definitely many ways of dealing with this, many approaches that we can think and reimagine this approach. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't mean that by doing all this, we need to be located within one ministry with the ministry representative sitting in here.
Right. Vassala, thank you so much for being on the show. Vassala Naidu from the Center of Independent Journalism, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.